It is the simplest things that sometimes hurt the most. That's how someone once described coming to terms with the loss of a loved one. Not just in the immediate days afterwards, but in the months, the weeks, the years that follow. The smells of food they loved, the coffee mug, the imprint on the chair that still bears their shape, the sound of the key in the door, the phone that doesn't ring anymore. They are like everyday landmines that we can step on unawares, and they each bring back into our world at those pent-up emotions we thought we might have got past, we didn't expect in that moment. So I wonder how you find it possible to cope. The passages we've just read together are two of the most famous passages in the Bible. John 3 verse 16 is probably the most famous of them all. It is the gospel, God's good news for the world in a nutshell. And I hope that as we just take a moment to reflect on those today, it might draw us to know a little bit more of God's goodness and his love again. But hold that thought for a moment and come back with me to 1922. It was a year that the American Charles Osborne will never forget, because 1922 was the year he started the longest ever bout of hiccup. Charles holds the Guinness World Record for hiccups that lasted a whopping 68 years at up to 40 times a minute. It is amazing. It seems unbelievable, but it is true. Just spare a thought for his long-suffering wife. It is amazing. It seems unbelievable, but it is true. And yet, just for a few moments, let me draw you to see something else. It is amazing. It seems unbelievable, and yet it is also 100% true. It is God's promise in those words from John chapter 3 that he loves the world. Not just an abstract world, but this world, your world. It might be we're so used to that message that we almost kind of roll past the weight of it. That the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who set in motion every quark in the cosmos, every synapse in your brain, and sustains every moment of your life, loves you and even me. More, God just doesn't just love the best of us, he loves the worst of us on our best days and our bad days. It is mind-blowing, isn't it? Here's another thing that is seems unbelievable and yet is also true. God loves the world and he gave his only son for us. Not long ago, a group of school children in a philosophy lesson were asked the question, if they saw two people drowning in a river and they knew they could only save one, which would they choose? One was their father, the other was a world-famous scientist on the verge of curing cancer. They could only pick one. Without exception, every one of the pupils chose their father. Family bonds are so precious, we value them so highly, which makes God's love all the more amazing. The Bible declares that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And maybe you spotted the next thing that seems unbelievable and yet is so true. That God offers us eternal life. It is the gift that echoes the promises of Psalm 23. The promise of a God who not only walks with us in this life, not only through our valleys, but also into the next life, also through our death. We live in a world where everything we have has an expiry date. Every iPhone will run out of updates at some point. Every car will rust. Every piece of clothing will one day fade away. Every fashion trend will one day pass. And if that's true of things, isn't it true of us? Our bodies will at one day fail us. It is part of the way God has made us. And yet his promise, his amazing offer, is the assurance of a life that overcomes even the grave, that we shall not perish but have eternal life. And so here's the fourth amazing thing. It is eternal life for those who believe. It is an offer that is so good that we would rightly expect it to come with some small print, some terms and conditions, some hoops that we need to jump through. I guess that's the thought of so many, even those who might say they are religious, that the assumption that God only gives eternal life to those who have been good enough or done enough or given enough. But that's not what he says, is it? It is for whoever believed it. If eternal life was only for those who deserved it, none of us would get it, even the most respectable. But the Bible tells us that with love and great clarity that our best is not up to God's standards. There is no way that I can do that on my own. And yet God's offer is so amazing, so real, so life-changing. Because God says Jesus has done it. The cross declares that God has done it. All I need to do is say, yes. I can't earn it, I can't buy it, I can't steal it, I don't deserve it, and yet it is freely offered to you and me. We live in a world and at a time with so many different ideas about eternity. Some hope for something more, others are certain there is nothing more, and yet Jesus gently disagrees. And he backs up his claim that death is not the end by rising from a tomb. It is the hope that gets me out of bed each morning. It is a love that can transform both this life and the next. And my prayer is that you might know that hope and that love today, even as we gather with tears in our eyes. So I'm going to pray a short prayer that draws us to remember those we have loved and to remember the one who loves us even more. Merciful Father, would you hear our prayers and comfort us? Would you renew our trust in your Son, whom you raised from the dead, and strengthen our faith that all those who have died in the love of Christ will share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.